Hello and welcome to the Being Ants production. Oh, shit, my... got a squeaky chair. I shall not move. No, that's all right. I'm going to have to start again anyway because, you know, made a bugger of it. Anyway.
All right.
Hello and welcome to the Being Ants Productions podcast. My name is Goff and today I am joined by a very special guest. She's a very savvy business lady because she has started a wonderful company called Calm Mind Co. We're going to learn all about it and her. It's Amber Hawken. How are you doing today, Amber?
Good, mate. Thanks so much for having me here. I'm great.
That's very good. Now, why don't you give yourself a better introduction than what I gave? So who is Amber? Who is Amber Hawken?
Oh, okay. Short version. Country girl. Grew up in country Queensland, super interested in human biology and psychology, studied radiation therapy, went into the medical field, left the medical field, went into human behaviour, behavioural therapy, linguistic programming, breathwork, trauma therapy, regression, all of that kind of jazz. Worked in business for 10 years doing that. About 3 years ago, did Calm Mind Project, which then morphed into Calm Mind Co. So we went into schools and businesses and minds and things like that, teaching about breathwork. Very holistic approach. We really want to look at the whole human, the depth of everything they do. Absolutely love, you know, love a good coffee, love a good whiskey sour, dirty sense of humor thanks to my dad, love rock and roll music, a redhead, that's about it.
Do you like long walks along the beach and holding hands at sunset?
Pina coladas too, yeah.
Crikey, I've never had such a detailed answer before. That's good.
Okay, good.
I like it. No, it's cool, man. It's cool. So, as I said, you run Calm Mind Co.
Yep.
What is Calm Mind Co? Tell us about it.
Thank you for asking. It's a really good opportunity for me to kind of explain where it shifted to because I've got two aspects of my businesses, of my company. One's Amber Hawken, one's Calm Mind Co. And they really serve the same purpose. But Calm Mind Co. is the aspect of currently we're in the works of building an app. So we're launching an app soon. And if I was to say like the foundation of that, it's to really get people to go back to themselves. It's teaching a very, very simple breathing technique, but it's using like the breathing, the lungs, the diaphragm, the nose, the pace, the rate of the breath, the depth of the breath in a certain particular way. So humans understand that we can actually heal our breathing mechanism, which for most people is broken, regulate our nervous system, which calms our mind, everything like that. Basically, it brings people back to their optimal state of presence so that life is experienced. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, not just from here to here to here to here. It's like people actually live their life. And that kind of intertwines then because it's the foundation for everything we do in my other company.
Well, so why start it? Why did you think that, you know what, I'm going to do this? Why did you decide that?
Good question. Two reasons. One is after working with therapy with adults for so long, with trauma therapy and because I would work with people who, if you looked from the outside, looked incredibly wealthy and successful and all of that, but perhaps they were feeling incredibly empty. You know, their bank account's full, heart empty, or their relationships looked perfect but lacked deeper connection or intimacy. So, but if you get down to the root of what's going on for most human beings is that at some point they weren't able to regulate something that felt deeply intense or going on in their life, and they weren't able to feel their feelings, process their feelings, regulate their nervous system. And it was just really when COVID shut like a lot of outdoor activation and events and things down and toughened and tightened things up for people, what that meant was we had to go online. And I remember trying to transfer what we did in Calm Mind Co. into online, and I couldn't stand it. It was like the disconnection was, it was like killing my soul, man. So I remember waking up being like, can I swear?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay. I remember waking up thinking like, fuck, like if I could just teach a million people how to breathe like this, I'll die a happy woman. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So we shifted from working in the schools and in frontline workers and in miners to creating the app and then building like more community work with Calm Mind Co. instead because—
Well, an app can reach more people.
Totally,
as well.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the crux of it.
No, very cool, very cool. Now, you've already mentioned it briefly. Now, you do speak a lot about functional breathing.
Yeah.
So for those folks at home who might not understand what functional breathing is, could you just give us a bit of an overview of what that actually means?
Oh, I'd love to. So you can either breathe efficiently or inefficiently or functionally or dysfunctionally.
Through your mouth like a Neanderthal or...
Yep, through the nose. Do you know, actually, there is a lot of research in ancient indigenous tribes where they used to shut the mouths of their babies to teach them only to breathe through the nose. It's only in the last couple of hundred years that a lot of different things change, but we changed the way that we breathe and changed our lack of presence. Breathing through the top of your chest and through your mouth basically are two dysfunctional ways to breathe. So the opposite of that, breathe through your nose and down into the belly using the diaphragm. So the most functional and efficient breath has an even pace. Science and all the research states, like out of all of the thousands of like research and science and backed papers, 5.5 seconds in and 5.5 seconds out. That means around 5.5 breaths a minute. Most people are 12 plus, right? So pace through the nose into the diaphragm. So inhale, belly rise, exhale, belly fall. And then the piece that's really important is that you breathe gently. So if I had a feather under your nose, it, you know, wouldn't move. Yeah. When you breathe like that, it changes your whole nervous system. It sends everything that was in fight or flight, which you probably didn't even realize because the state of stress and heightened awareness is really normal for people. They just think it's, oh, this is it. It calms everything down. All the blood goes to your prefrontal cortex. All the wiring starts to go to the parts that can process emotions and think clearly rather than the amygdala hippocampus firing fight or flight kind of thing. So, and all of the hormones and your physiology and your biology changes within minutes when you do that.
And obviously, you sort of touched on it then. So the benefits are obviously a bit of an umbrella sort of a thing for the whole human body and brain and whatnot.
It's enormous. Like if you think about the way that you perceive the world, it changes everything about how you experience life. Like that, let me say that again. That is so fucking important. How you perceive things coming in, all the 11 million bits of information coming in every second, how your brain takes that in will determine how you experience and then respond to life. When you breathe in this way, it'll change those filters and your physiology and your biology and your hormones. The ripple effect of that is the prevention of or the reduction of really common symptoms of all kinds of emotional and physical disease.
Cool. Now, another thing that I've obviously read up on you and seen a few videos and whatnot, something else that you've talked about in the past is self-sabotage, when people have got a goal in mind and they want to reach this goal and then they don't even know they're doing it. You know, it's subconsciously they destroy what their goal. Can you tell us a little bit about self-sabotage, why people do it and how we can maybe not?
Sure. We've got 20 minutes, right? So one of my teachers is Dr. Robert Augustus Masters, and he's an incredible therapist, incredible psychotherapist. And he wrote a book called Getting to Know Your Shadow. And in there, he has an excellent description of the inner critic and the inner saboteur. So I'm going to talk about that and what I've like learned from him and my therapy studies. So, you know, the little voice that says things like you suck or, you know, no one cares or this isn't good enough, like the criticisms, right? The inner critic. And you can discern the inner critic, you can discern it from, say, good critical thinking, because the inner critic will just go hell for leather in feedback that is not useful. It's just painful. Right? So anything like that is your inner critic. Now, in that, that changes the way that you're feeling, right? Gives you a certain, usually triggers shame, fear, failure, doubt, all of that. And then Masters describes it as the saboteur then being like, so the action it's kind of like the thoughts that come in as the action that we should do as a response to the feelings from the inner critic smashing us. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So how to stop it is, I would say the first step is becoming aware, which you can do when you breathe like with the calm mind technique. And that's one of the things I love, right? So it gives you that space between thought. If you can pause enough to recognize that the inner critic's going hell for leather, firstly, you can know what that is. Then you can probably notice the feelings coming up. And then, you know, let's just, a classic example. Maybe you're overthinking something you want to ask for or something you want to do or something you want to create or some feedback that's given to you, and you can hear your mind smashing yourself, just like maybe going over the same stuff that's been a pain point for you perhaps your whole life, or maybe it's just in that point, and then you feel like, oh, terrible about it. Like it could be actually a thing that you've done creatively, say a podcast that you've done or you started.
Hey, then, all my episodes are brilliant. I've got no doubts.
Exactly. This is for other people.
Oh, okay, other podcasters listening.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, and so maybe you're creating feelings of like doubt or resentment or shame, whatever, whatever's going on, just like shit feeling in your gut. And then your mind's like, well, I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it ever again, or I should cancel it, or I should delete it, or, you know, maybe I shouldn't post it. That's the play out or the difference between critic and saboteur. And, you know, you could say you just don't do it, or you could recognize how dysfunctional the critic is and that it is not something that is to be kind of played with or attempted to stop. It's actually just to recognize it is a dysfunction of disconnection to, you could just say, like, yourself, because if you are deeply connected to yourself and you're grounded, you're not going to actually believe any of those thoughts.
Yeah. So it's a lot like, I know a little bit about this sort of stuff. So thought disputation being is, you know, you have a negative thought and then you question, is that a healthy thought? Is it a positive thought? And if it's not a positive thought, it's a negative thought, then you discard that thought. So would you suggest perhaps that if you have calmer breathing in your life, that things like thought disputation are going to be a lot easier to do because it gives you the time to question any thought that comes into your brain.
Spot on.
Right. Well, that was a thank you for so much for joining us today, Amber.
Oh, truly, it's it, and I think it's the most overlooked thing because that, like, the inner critic or the saboteur, which most people probably don't recognize what's what. It's such a painful thing in so many people's lives, right? And if that critic goes round and round and round, we can go into states of deep depression or anxiety, and it's such a big thing. So we often
it's like when your brain's on a racetrack, it's on a loop and it can't. There's no escape ramp.
100%. And this is the perfect example. So most people think this is such a big problem. It's been here for a long time. I must need a big solution. But it's the really simple stuff that we implement that make, like, give us more leverage, yeah? So that's why I'm, like, spot on. Like, it seems too easy to be true. And to the part of us that's experienced a lot of pain for a while, that's maybe bitter and upset around that, it can be confronting to hear that, yeah?
Yeah, no. Like, I really, I find this stuff really fascinating. So, no, it's very, very cool indeed. Now, you've got clients that obviously, otherwise you'd be in bankruptcy court. So, you have clients, obviously. What are some of the mistakes, just common mistakes that you see your clients make that you have to sort of pull them up on so that anybody listening who might recognize one or two of those mistakes that they're making?
Sure.
This is a... Yeah. Amber's thinking now, Forex.
I would say always thinking that every time that there's something that they're feeling that's uncomfortable or another symptom showing up or another pattern that's showing up, that A, there's something wrong with that. So the idea that there's something wrong, the idea that they have to fix it immediately instead of just becoming aware of it, and the idea that they need to seek, like, a really, like I said before, a really big solution. So I guess it's a state of disempowerment, falling into that state of helplessness and disempowerment rather than coming back to the basics and coming back to, like, just being a little bit more grounded and kind to themselves and pausing for a second. So it's like that rush urgency response to pain or what they see as them doing something wrong. So that's a really, you know, I guess, common mistake, you could say. And maybe one more.
Amber's thinking again, ladies and gentlemen. It's cool. Like, if you can't, if nothing comes to mind.
No, it's just that I want it, like, there's so many, and I want to be, I guess, more specific with something so it's relatable, because we all do. The things that are going through my head, they're super common, but they're really overlooked. And I would say the other one, like, if the most important thing is that we're not asking ourselves the questions that when we go and ask others, like, we're not self-inquiring. Yeah, we're not taking that time to self-inquire and self-reflect, which if we did in a really, you know, practical way that's a common reflection, most of the stuff that goes on in our head that, you know, then drives shitty behavior or dysfunctional emotional relationship with ourselves, it would be worked with, yeah, with ourselves, so...
Cool. Now, what are some really common, well, not common, what are some really easy things or little tips that you can give people that might be listening today? Like, they're feeling super stressed for whatever reason it might be, work or whatever. They're feeling super, super stressed. What are some just really basic things that they could start doing at home right now as they're listening to this to just calm the farm?
Totally. Great question. And when I say these, even though these are basic and simple, they're the most important. Like, I have worked with the worst of the worst examples of drug addiction, severe drug addiction, dysfunction, rape, trauma, all of this kind of stuff. And I will still tell these clients, this must be going on in your life no matter what. So this stuff is foundational work. One, lemon water in the morning with filtered water. Every single day when you wake up, get yourself hydrated and get your electrolytes in you. Half a squeezed lemon in like 300 mils of water. Get it in you. Yeah. If you're brave, like a cup, little tiny lid cup, not like a cup, like a tiny cap of apple cider vinegar in as well for your gut. Yeah. Sleep routine. Most people, I'm like, are you tired? Are you hungry? Have you done a really good shit lately? Have you orgasmed sometime soon? Is your heart closed? Like really basic stuff. So really good sleep routine. Mouth taping so that you breathe through your nose when you sleep. Yes, I know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go and look into it. Super important. Mouth taping, deep, really good deep restful sleep routine. So at nighttime, lights down, get some salt lamps, get some like really good lighting in your house so it's not white lights at night. Good wind down routine. Get it down. Get 7 to 8 hours sleep. That's really deep sleep, hydration.
And make sure, obviously, when, again, sorry for interrupting, but I would assume as well you would be an advocate of maybe putting work away an hour or two before it is time to sleep so that your brain has time
minutes.
To switch off.
100%, 90 minutes. Like no devices, lights down, no stimulation. Like we use candles and salt lamps in our house anytime after 7:30. No devices. It is absolutely life-changing. Just try it. If you're like, whatever, that's ridiculous. I have children. Get them involved. Teach them this when they're young. Do it. I have clients who do it. Yeah, the sleep. And then, of course, the breathing. Through your nose, into the belly, nice and gentle, even rhythmic.
And it's the breathing thing, that's reasonably straightforward for people to learn, and it's not something that's going to take them, you know, years and years to master.
They can do it right now. And they could do it if they're feeling stressed. You do it for a couple of minutes. Your whole sympathetic nervous system will go to parasympathetic. You'll go from fight or flight into calm and relaxed. Your body will switch from that stress state to that open state. It's like the most simple, powerful thing that you can do in this moment if you're stressed and any other time that you're alive during your day, not speaking or eating.
Cool. Very cool. Now, what do you do? Like in regards to, you know, you've got Saturday free. What do you do to chill out? What's your way of de-stressing and getting rid of all the crap? What do you do?
Yeah, great question. It depends on what my week was. So if I had a week where it was really heightened, I had a lot of output, then I'll go do things that are slower. Yeah, but if I've got some cool energy left over, I'll do some things that are with nature that might require a little bit more energy, like hiking, like going surfing, getting out and about, like hanging out with friends. Like, but whatever will supercharge my energy and my battery, that's what my weekends are spent doing. If I'm not running an event or a retreat or something, it's nature. My partner and I like have an epic, like really great I guess aligned values. So everything's always to do with like, cool, what are we going to do that's going to give us the most like joy and energy at the end of the weekend?
Cool. Very cool. Well, that brings us, I should actually ask, of course, if people want to learn more about Amber Hawken and Calm Mind Co, where can they go? What can they do?
I mean, I guess easiest place is either socials or website. So amberhawken.com, K-E-N, H-A-W-K-E-N is Hawken, and calmmindco.com, or our socials, Calm Mind Co and Amber Hawken. Like, best place, just reach out.
Cool. Very cool indeed. So make sure you check this lady out in Calm Mind Co, because, you know, it's worth a look, I think. So that brings us to the end of this particular episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Thank you so much for coming in, Amber.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a lot of fun. And, of course, make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you leave a friendly comment, because that's always nice. It's always nice to be friendly, isn't it, Amber?
Yes, very nice.
Thank you for backing me up. And 5 stars, rate and review us. And, of course, Beer Nuts Productions is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we shall chat to you then.